Morning, welcome to Swallowness Baptist Church this morning. As we come to worship, let us just take a few moments to settle ourselves down and to still our hearts and minds. Let's hand over to Him the things that might stop us from focusing on God and how great He is. And bring before Him our worries, things that trouble us, our sins, anything that might stop us from focusing on Him. Let's just take a moment in silence to just bring yourself to God. Father, we thank you for another beautiful autumn day, for the beauty of your creation all around, all the things that you've made that we like so much. Merciful Father, we thank you that when we confess our sins to you, you are faithful and just and forgive us. Help us to desire to be more like you day by day, to want to draw closer to you, and to get to know you better. We thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to help us, and we welcome the Holy Spirit now amongst us. Come, Lord Jesus, and meet with us today. Just going to read from 1 John, first bit, and then jump a bit. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shone in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Whatever we're facing, whatever we have come up against, or that we will come up against, just maybe picture bringing that to the foot of the cross. Just bring it and just lay it down at the foot of the cross. Whatever it is you're facing, whatever it is you're going through, just bring that to the one who gladly picked up that cross and there carried it to Golgotha, the place of the skulls. And there with everything, took all, not just some, not just picking and choosing, but took all of our sin and our shame, and there buried it in that death upon that cross. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, who we sung about in the first song, as Christ as our King. And as we sang that, we named that for ourselves, that Christ my King, where death could not hold, where there's no rival, where there's no equal, where all power and authority was given to him at the very beginning, as it was in the beginning. This is the one who is able to take all things from us and leave us with his peace. Leave us saturated in his blood, because his blood, as it ran red, washed all of our sins away. This is the Lord Jesus, who comes and reaches out to each and every one, no matter where we are, no matter what we're going through. He is there, and he journeys along, and he reaches out and says, come, all who are weary, all who are burdened, come and rest. Take upon my yoke, for it is light and easy. Come and cast all your burdens at the foot of the cross. Come if you need, dragging them up with your hands so tightly clenched that you don't want to let go of them, and place them there, and then physically open your hands and let go and leave it there and walk away, leaving it at the foot of the cross, walking away with empty hands, knowing that he will take all of that. And as you're picturing this, as you're walking away with empty hands because everything is left at the foot of the cross, feel that warmth, feel that love, feel that peace just transcending from the top of your head right down through to the tip of your toes as Jesus' very presence fills you anew and afresh, as Holy Spirit breathes new life into each and every one, as Holy Spirit just dwells within and gently whispers, I love you. You are mine and I am yours. As we gather around his table, it's here that we find ourselves again in need and wanting. But it is Jesus himself that says, come, take. Each of you. It's that sense where he says, and I read this as my reading this morning, you find this on the app Lectio 365. It starts with a Psalm 131. My heart is not proud, Lord, my eyes are not haughty, I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have calmed and quieted myself, I am like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. And it's in those words that we put our hope in the Lord. That we don't concern ourselves with those great matters that can overwhelm us, but that we lay them at the foot of the cross and know that we put our hope in the Lord now and forevermore. And as we see, he invites us around his table. He is the host, he is the one that welcomes us. And so before we come to recall why we gather around, let us pray that in the silence of this moment, as we express deep gratitude for Christ and for one another, we just simply say, Father God, we thank you for your beautiful, multicultural, intergenerational family gathering today in so many churches, in so many countries. Lord, would you revive and sanctify us? Make a house of prayer for all nations and set our hearts on fire again with the good news of your gospel. Let's just take a moment to earth these big prayers locally. Maybe within the quietness of your prayers, within your heart, name members of maybe your church, family, friends who are finding life particularly tough at the moment. Lord, would you graciously hear our prayers? And Lord, as we lift those people to you, we pray in your name that your hand would be upon them. Lord, I pray that you would bring healing and restoration, allowing the people to be free and not captive, allowing, Lord, that to know that we are ransomed, healed, restored, and forgiven. And so, Lord, we may take a moment just to confess those things to you that may hinder us, that we may feel that would stop us from coming to you fully. Lord, it may be things that we've said or that we've done. And Lord, if we're unsure, would you just speak to us in the quietness? and let us know what it is maybe we need to seek you and your forgiveness for. We lift these prayers to you now, Lord. And so, Father God, as we lift these confessions to you, Lord, as we seek you and your forgiveness, may we be reminded that at the cross, all our sin and shame is buried and remembered no more. That you forgive us, Lord. That we seek you, and that in that forgiveness, Lord, we can rise upon the wings of eagles, knowing that we are truly ransomed, healed, restored, and forgiven. Lord, we come around your table. We thank you for the bread and for the wine, these symbols of body and blood broken and poured out for each and every one. That as we're reminded of that great cost at Calvary, but one that was so willingly taken. Lord, that may be difficult for us to comprehend, but Lord, allow us to accept the great sacrifice that you did and gave for us. May we also rejoice that death did not defeat you, nor did the grave hold you. That we also celebrate that you rose to victorious life again in the power of the resurrection. And Lord, as we're reminded in your word that you will drink anew with us on the day that you come to restore your kingdom. Lord, we long for that day where we can drink it anew with you, as you long for that day that you will do also with us. But Lord, in this moment and in this time now, we remember the sacrifice. We remember that new covenant that you made with your disciples to pass on for generation to come. And so, Lord, as we find ourselves around your table, we're reminded that as Paul says, for what I received from the Lord, I also deliver to you. That the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he also took the cup. And after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Well, Father God, we do give you thanks that we are able to do likewise this day today. That we are able to break bread and share of the wine, Lord. May it not only fill us physically, but spiritually nourish us and quench our thirst. Lord, as we break this bread, your body, and as we drink this wine, your blood, may it fill us and refresh us anew this day. We give you thanks now and forevermore. Amen. And so the body of bread, the body of Christ, which is broken for all, and the cup, the blood that ran free. As often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again and drinks afresh with us. Take and receive the bread and the wine as it comes to you. Eat the bread as you take it, and the cup will retain to the end as we drink as a sign of our unity together. So please come and take each of the bread and the wine. If for whatever reason you don't want to or can't take these elements, just allow them to pass by without any fear or embarrassment. They'll come to you as they come round. Christ has proclaimed that he will make all things new, and indeed has. Let us lift the cup of the blood of the new covenant and drink afresh and anew. Amen. Father God, we thank you that we have been found at your table, that we have been cleansed, refreshed, and renewed as we remember that great sacrifice that you have made for each and every one, and yet for all generations to come. Lord, we thank you that we are able to be counted as sons and daughters, heirs and graces to that eternal inheritance. But Lord, whilst we remain here upon this earth, as we remain to breathe each day and see each new morning afresh with new mercies, Lord, may we be reminded that you call us to do your work. Wherever that is we may find ourselves, whatever it is that you may be calling us to do, Lord, may we do it in the boldness and in the name of you, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, when we struggle, Lord, when we may not want to face the day ahead, would you strengthen us? Would you encourage us? Lord, would you just breathe afresh within us and remind us of your words in that Psalm of 121, that we are able to lift our eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And be assured of these words as he continues, that he will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Why? Because the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. All praise, glory, and honor be to God forever and ever. Amen. Well, fortunately, you've got me today for notices. Carol's away. Don't look so sad. Sorry. I'm sure she'll be back next week. But just to say that today at 3 o'clock, of course it's the third Sunday of the month, Prospects will be happening at 3 o'clock here in the church. Do pray into Prospects, Malcolm and Marbeth and George and Pauline and many others as they lead that. It's a great service for those reaching out, as it says there, learning disability friendly church. So that's at 3 o'clock today. Please do be praying about that. But also speak to Malcolm and Marbeth as well about that, as maybe how you could help or pray into that further. Then, of course, on tomorrow at 9:30, we've got the prayer and meditation on Zoom. Again, all the details are available on the email that comes out. Tuesday, we've got Mums and Tots. And then just thinking further ahead, next week we've got Cafe Church. Again, we've been saying this for a few weeks now. It's a great opportunity to come in a very informal setting, but about inviting friends and neighbours along as well. So Cafe Church next Sunday. And then the Sunday after, the last Sunday of October. Crikey. And Philip's just walked in. How many weeks to Christmas? Whoa. Let's keep it at 10. There's more. Let's keep it at 10. Ah, never mind. But thank you. So next Sunday the 30th is our commissioning and celebration service, recognising all who lead in activities both within the church and out in the community. So that'll be a great service there. And then the following day, Monday the 31st, is our light party. Again, a great opportunity to invite people, especially kids and that, an alternative to Halloween. Again, we're asking for donations of cakes and biscuits, please. And then there's a list at the back for catering purposes, if you can sign up there as to what you may bring for that.
Sorry, David, it's for numbers.
For numbers, not for please, catering purposes. Well, of course, catering purposes, how many people are coming to eat?
The adults and children, yeah. Thank you.
There you go. Put your name at the back, you're coming. Sunday the 13th of November is our Remembrance Day service. And again, remember that's going to be at 9:30. starting at 9:30, not 10:30. That gives an opportunity to come to this service, but then if you also want to, go on up to the memorial at the top of the village there for the 10:45 service there. And then on Sunday the 27th of November, speaking in advance of that, we've got a baptism service as we start Advent. So we look forward to that. Again, if anybody's thinking about baptism, come and speak with either myself or with Rob, and we'd love to chat to you about that. Shoe boxes are at the back. That's also coming up as well. Don't forget to take your leaflet with that. If there's none there, let us know and we'll get some. And then the other important thing to say is warm spaces. So for the past few months, it seems, where we've been looking around the community with the other church leaders and the parish council of how throughout the winter months we can open up our buildings and use our resources as warm spaces. And we're looking at doing that from the beginning of November right the way through to March. We're starting here in Swanhurst Baptist Church on Thursday, the 3rd of November, from 9 a.m. till 3 p.m. And we're looking for volunteers to help run with that. These spaces, as I say, they're going to be warm, safe, and free, because we'll be providing tea and coffee and other drinks and maybe soup and a roll, and it's all going to be free. So rather than people being freezing at home, wondering whether they can put the heating on or not, wondering whether they can eat or not, they can come here, particularly on Thursday, and have a warm space and have opportunity to just get to know people within this place. The other places around, Bethesda, Central Methodist Church and All Saints C of E Church and the parish offices, parish council offices, they'll also be open on different days. We're getting a poster for all of our locations and times and contact details coming out in the next week or so, and then we'll get that circulated as well. So for us, it's going to be every Thursday from the 3rd of November running right the way through to March. It's something new. But we're going to trial it and see how it goes. More details will come out about that. And of course, all our details are updated on our website, Facebook, and the weekly updates as well. Any questions, get in touch and we'll point you somewhere else. No, we'll answer your questions, I'm sure. Livy, you're going to bring us God's word. Lord, we just thank you for Livy, and we just pray you would speak mightily through her, and your word would just strike each of our hearts this morning. Amen. Thank you.
Good morning. Oh, hello. Nice to see you all. I just wanted to, before the service today, it was so lovely to see so many people praying with other people. I must have seen 6 sets of people laying hands on other people and praying for things going on in their lives. It was awesome. Well done, all. Keep it up. Very nice. And Suzanne, thank you so much. Lovely choice of songs. And the reading was the other one that I might have done, but I didn't do. Which was, ballsy. So we're in this series about the fruit of the Spirit. So the first thing we're going to do is just go back to that reading in Galatians that talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And just read through that. So, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. Oh, I've gone back. Oh, I went too far. come on. Thanks, Chris. Chris is on it. It's okay. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Let's pray. Father God, we pray that we would take those verses to heart, that we would trust you and your Holy Spirit, that we would choose to be filled with your Spirit that you left here for us. Lord, I lift the next few minutes to you. I pray that it would be fully yours and not mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're about halfway through our series on the fruit of the Spirit now. And I hope that today I will be confirming lots of things that we've already heard and possibly offering the odd new thing. I always think when I'm teaching that if the kids can, I ask them a question and they go, it's this. I go, yeah, you've got it now. You've heard it enough times. It's all good. So I've got goodness for my fruit of the Spirit. And following on from what Jonar spoke about last week in terms of kindness, I tried with the R. The two are definitely intertwined and relate to one another. I did, as you know, I love a good dictionary, and I did have a look in the dictionary at the definition of goodness. But it's huge. There's hundreds of things that goodness is and goodness can be. So then I went back. One of my favourite kind of ideas of God is God the Father. I think thinking of God as a parent is often our best way of understanding the way that he loves us and what he wants for us. Obviously, better than any earthly father ever could be, but still, a picture that is helpful, I think. So as a mum, I often say to my kids, be good. Be good when they're going out with granny, when they're going out to a friend's house, when they're going out to junior church. Be good. But what do I mean by that? Well, I had a little think, and I distilled my expectations for my kids into these things. So, what is good? Good means follow our rules. So when you're at somebody else's house, I want you to have your mum in the back of your head going, don't do that. No, don't do that. Follow their rules. So when you're in somebody else's house, when you're with somebody else, you also respect their rules. Never, ever want to hear, my mum says I can do that. No, 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 no. And then the basics. Don't hurt anyone. Don't break anything. Be polite. In fact, in our house, we have two fundamental rules. They're the absolute basic of what we expect. I don't think they're unreasonable, but actually you wouldn't believe how many times they get broken. And they're kind of rules against which there is no argument. So the kids can't come and say, but this and but that. It's just no. So our two rules are, we don't solve our problems physically, ever. And we don't ever swear at each other. That's it. The bar is quite low, but that's what we aim for. And God also has lots and lots of rules. If you read Leviticus or Deuteronomy and the Ten Commandments, there are hundreds and hundreds of rules that he gave us during the Old Testament. But he also distilled them into two fundamentals. And fascinating, his fundamentals are not do not, they are do. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So is that what goodness looks like? Obeying the commandments, keeping to the rules. Is that what we should do in order to be good? And is that always clear and easy to see what it is? Well, thankfully, the Bible talks an awful lot about goodness and what it looks like and where it comes from. So if you're sitting comfortably, we'll start at the very beginning. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters were gathered together, he called seas, and God saw that it was good. And he made plants and animals and earth and the moon and the sun, and he pronounces them all good. And finally, he gets to humans. I think. Yes. So, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has life. I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw. That's a spoiler. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. So here we learn that everything that God has made is good. Very good, even. And if that's so, we can relax, can't we? We've got goodness down. We're made by God. Sorted. No problem. I'll see you later. However, sadly, that isn't the end of the story. God makes us good, but he gives us free will. And as soon as we get the chance, we break the rules, turn our backs on him and do whatever suits us. We choose to relinquish our very good status by choosing sin, by choosing to be separated from God. In fact, only 6 chapters later, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. So, God deals with it. He has one plan, Plan A. Plan A starts with myriad rules. We've seen them in Leviticus. Do this, do this, do this. Then Plan A continues. He sends Jesus. He sends Jesus to save us from our sins. Thank you, Jesus. And then Jesus goes up to heaven. And he says, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. So, God saves us by sending Jesus. And when Jesus goes up to heaven, he does not leave us alone. He leaves us with the Spirit. Now we're going to head off on a tangent. Bear with me. It's a planned tangent. In the passage that this whole series is based on, we look at the fruit of the Spirit. And I wanted to look at that as a concept. It is, unsurprisingly, exactly the right word in exactly the right place. Because fruit is something that we as humans have not yet worked out how to make. We can grow them. We can change them a bit and grow them. But we make things that look like fruit. These are the oranges from toddlers. We can make things that taste a little bit like fruit, but not really. Nothing that we make ever really tastes like fruit. If you watch the TV programs with the posh chefs, they're always very upset when they use an essence instead of the real fruit, because it's not the same. It's not the same. The only way you can make this is by planting a seed, putting in the right food and the right water, and it appears. It just happens because you've put the right things in, the right thing comes out. It's just a natural expression. We were talking, sorry to bring it back to Jack's, but it's kind of the other half of my life. We were talking at Jack's about our values, and one of our values is fruitful students. And I was talking to my staff about it, and they were just like, we just don't really get it. I was trying to put it in other words, like something snappy and short, and there just isn't. Fruitful is the natural culmination of everything that you are and everything that you put in the best way possible. That's what fruitful is. It's the best thing that can come from everything that you put in. And so goodness is one of those fruits. And it is important. It is important. But it is not something that we should or can manufacture on our own. It can be really hard work. It can be really hard to know at the beginning what the good thing is to do. Hindsight is a wonderful thing. You can always tell from a year later what was the good thing to do, but right at the beginning, not so easy. God has perspective. God knows. He knows what was there before. He knows what's going to happen at the end. He knows it all. Why would we not lean on him? And so, by being nourished by the Holy Spirit, who was there at the very beginning, the Holy Spirit was on the water, we can be returned to our original nature, choosing to be recreated by God as good. We can bear fruit based on what God wants, thinks, and rather than our own narrow knowledge of this moment. We invite the Holy Spirit into our lives. We read God's word. We think on it. We trust God. When he created us, we were good. He gave us free will so that we could choose. And sadly, we often choose to do the right thing. The wrong thing. Not the right thing. Sorry. But in the end, the choice is not about being good or not good. The choice is about being God or not God. If we invite the Holy Spirit into our lives continually on a daily basis and trust him, then we will bear fruit. Because we've put the right thing in, the right thing will come out. And so goodness looks like God. And God asks us to follow his rules and respect the rules of those around us. The Holy Spirit helps us to identify that and to discern what to do where it's not black and white. It's so often shades of grey. When your rule, God, conflicts with that person's rule, actually on this day, in this place, with this person, what is the right thing to do? Where do I start? Clarify what loving my neighbour looks like in a difficult situation. So, on the day that I was researching this the other day, the verse of the day was this, I think it pretty much sums it up. I could have just said this at the beginning. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And that's from Romans chapter 12. So, let's try to be good, but let's also try to be holy, filled with the Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we are so sorry that we've messed up. When we've tried to do good from what we think, but also when we just flagrantly disobey the rules and choose not to be good. We are sorry, Lord. Fill us with your Spirit. Fill us from the roots right up to the top. Lord, make us fruitful. Fruitful with the many flavours of fruit that you provide. Lord, take us back so that we can be very good in you. And Lord, this week, fill us again with another layer of your Holy Spirit as we look into your word, as we focus on these things which will come naturally when we let you in. We place it all at your feet, in Jesus' name.
Help us this coming week to think more and more about your goodness and all that you've done for us. Thank you, Father. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's just end with the grace together. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all.